This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, today we were able to host our Imam Sheikh Yasser Birjas from Valley Ranch. Since our Imam is not here, and I know there is a lot of talk in the community, and there is a lot of things that happen every day, so we said, okay, we're going to get some of the wisdom from our Imam, inshallah, Imam Birjas. For those who do not know who is Imam Birjas, Imam Yasser Birjas, he is the Valley Ranch, of course, resident Imam, and he was graduated from the University of Medina in 1996. And I didn't know that, but he was the valedictorian, mashallah, there. graduated as valedictorian from University of Medina in fiqh, usul al-fiqh. Got his master's degree, mashallah, here in education and training from University of Phoenix. I don't want to take a lot of your time, but inshallah, I'm going to leave it to our Imam, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu wa sallam, baraka nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathira thumma ma ba'd. Allahumma alimna ma yinfa'na, wa anfa'na bima alamtana, innaka anta alimul hakeem. Allahumma ati nufusina taqwaha wa zakkiha, anta khairu man zakkaha, anta waliyuha ma mawlaha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn, and He make us learn from what we read and what we listen, and make us benefit from the best of it, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering a gathering of khair, and ask Allah subhanahu to make us among those who will be surrounded by the angels, ya Rabbil Alameen. And Allah subhanahu shall us with His mercy and rahmah and sakina, ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, in light of what happened in the community, and the announcement is clear, in the past few days, there have been unfortunate incidents and events that happened in our community here in Dallas, or at least not in Dallas, as a matter of fact, but in regards to one of the prominent qaris of the Quran and teacher of the Quran, an unfortunate misconduct that had been attributed to him that led, to, of course, to legal persecution. He's in custody already, and the accusation, honestly, are horrible. For those who looked at the indictment, it's disgusting, it's horrible. It's unfortunate, could say a betrayal to the amana that any imam, any qari of the Quran, any leader is put in such a very important position to betray the trust of the community. And there are very many, many people talking, with spreading rumors and discussing things that are completely irrelevant to the matter. We need to make sure that we are, as one community, focused on that what matters to all of us, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So I thought, from that particular point of view, I have the aman and the responsibility to come to this community as well. You are our neighbors, as well as on behalf of also the Imam Council here in the Dallas community, inshallah ta'ala. I want to discuss this subject with you from a different perspective, inshallah. So I'm going to divide my talk to three major parts. The first thing is to talk about the importance of the ulama in our ummah and their huge responsibility. Talking about how the failure of the ulama is considered dangerous is not like the failure of anybody. And then making sure how we can stay together as one community, not to spread that which is irrelevant and not to do dhulm to the group of ulama and huffaz and qurra and the salihin because of the mistakes of one individual or even bunch of them. So that's going to be our discussion, inshallah ta'ala, and I hope inshallah doesn't take too long, bidnillahi azza wa jal. First thing that we need to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regards to the amana that has given the ulama, qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fi surah Ali Imran, wa idakhad Allahum ithaqa alladhina utul kitab la tubayyinahu linnasi wa la taktumuna, fanabaduhu wa ra'a dhuhurim, wa ishtaru bihi thamanan qalila, fabisa ma ishtarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in regard to the people of the book from before us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the covenant from those who have been given the scripture, those who have been given the book from before. Some ulama, they extend that to those who have been given the ilm. Like you studied the ilm, you studied the Quran, you graduated from an Islamic organization or Islamic university, Allah blessed you with some knowledge. What have you done with it? So Allah says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from those who received that ilm and that knowledge, لَتُبَيِّنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Your responsibility right now, once you carry the amana, you deliver that amana. you go out there and share the khair with the people and spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world. وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ Don't conceal it. Don't hide it. Which means you need to be proactive in spreading that ilm and that knowledge. قَالْ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ Some, they just threw it behind their backs. What does that mean? They neglected. They turned their backs to that knowledge and that ilm. All that khair that Allah blessed them with, they just turned their backs. And what did they do? قَالْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا They pursued a worldly gain. And he says, ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا Like very insignificant price for it. Like they completely threw all that khair and that ilm and they went after the dunya for that. قَالْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a miserable price they've taken for it. What a miserable price that is. Brothers and sisters, in the history of mankind, and the history of the Ummah as well too. Unfortunately, not all those who've been blessed with ilm, they adhered to it. But those who did, they knew the amana, or how important that amana is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made very heavy amana on the people of ilm, to produce that ilm and continue actually to deliver that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, He spoke about the ayat. قَالْ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابُ وَأُخْرَ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة ابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran. When Allah revealed the Quran, He says, منه آيات محكمات وأخرى متشابهات. Some of the ayat are extremely clear for anybody to read and understand. Some had some ambiguity in the mind of others, not all the people. And He says, those who have a disease in their heart, like they're looking for fitna, for troubles, looking for evil. They go and they try to manipulate the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead people astray. قَالْ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ Those who know exactly what happened or the meaning of it, truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal, He associated with His essence, with His beautiful essence subhanahu wa ta'ala, another group. قال والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا and those who have the knowledge who've been blessed with the knowledge he said الراسخون في العلم which means confirmed in their knowledge they would say we believe in this all come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some tafsir that they also have the meaning of it as well too equally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Those who testified that there is no deity, no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah, the angels, and ulul ilm, the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in the ranks of the angels. Those who receive that knowledge and they produce that khayr to the world, Allah put them in that place. In the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِثُ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَلَكِنْ وَرَثُ الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍّ وَافِرٍ He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regard to the people of knowledge, قال وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ That scholars, the ulama, the knowledgeable people, are the heirs of the prophets. And the prophet did not leave any dinar or dirham. They didn't leave gold or silver to the people. No. What did they leave for them? وَلَكِنْ وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ They left behind knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ Whoever takes that knowledge, he has taken a great deal of reward in the dunya and in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ That those who have faith and they have that knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them in the highest ranks in the dunya and in the akhirah. Brothers and sisters, it's because of that responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on the shoulder of the ulama, He gave them an incentive to take risk and do it. That incentive is to be among the highest ranks, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاء Those who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conscious of Allah, those who have the knowledge. It's because of the heavy weight that these ulama, they carry, the responsibility they're carrying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the incentive for them to take the risk of doing it. That's why we value our ulama and our scholars. That's why we put them sometimes on a pedestal. Maybe they don't deserve. But still, we believe, because of the risk they're taking on our behalf to deliver the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us and to the world, We give them that respect that they deserve from us, and we give them all the due reverence that they deserve because of that. So they're not because of who they are, it's because of what they are. That's the responsibility of the ulama and the amana and the value of these scholars that we have in our ummah. However, We all know that these ulama are also what a jama'ah? Human beings. They're human beings, which means they have the exact same tendencies like you have as a human being. They get sick, they get tired, they get bored, they get distracted, and they get tempted, like everybody else. They have their own shortcomings. They have their own faults. They have their own flaws as well too. They're not immune of any of that stuff. So they make mistakes, and they fall short on fulfilling the obligation that was given to them. In our mind and in our heart, when we deal with the ulama and the scholars, we feel that they're supposed to be, of course, at a different level of character, which is true. And that is like a code of conduct, that every student of knowledge, every alim, every carrier of the Quran should, whether willingly or otherwise, understand you are at a different level from the people, and therefore you need to hold yourself and carry yourself at a different level of akhlaq and manners, because you're representing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't behave like everybody else. And the expectation from talabat al-ilm, students of knowledge and ulama and the Quran, to be at that level of character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said what? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on a high standard of character. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made sure that he understands your position is different. You cannot carry yourself like everybody else. And that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even when they spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being around them, what did he say? He says, we used to sometimes joke around. We mentioned things from the jahiliyyah and the time we need to laugh at each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be sitting with us. We laugh and he would be smiling. Why is that? Because he wants them to enjoy what they're doing, but it's not befitting the Prophet ﷺ to behave like they do. Although they were not doing anything haram. They were not doing anything haram. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ would not allow them to do it. So they were doing something that Allah, the Prophet considered to be halal. But for a student of knowledge, you need to carry yourself at a higher standard of character because, again, of the amana that you carry upon yourself. That's why when one of the people of knowledge or ilm, they fall short, their little mistakes are amplified. And that's when the Arab, they say, زَلَّةُ الْعَالِمِ يُضْرَبُ لَهَا بِالطَّبِلِ, which means when a alim or a scholar makes a mistake, when a scholar slips, what happens? You will hear drumming behind it. Like it's very noisy, basically. You hear it everywhere. And people say, we hear it everywhere, because you're different. You're not supposed to be doing these things. And we learn that from our ulama and teachers as well too, the way they carry themselves among the people. They don't, behave in the same way. It's not a matter of arrogance. It's a matter of giving that ilm the haybah and the reverence that it deserves. So once again, that's why when one alim makes a mistake, it's very dangerous. Now the ulama throughout the history of our ummah are known to be responsible for guiding the ummah, safeguarding their aqeedah, making sure to stand for justice and that which is right in the community, making sure to advance the ummah, alhamdulillah, in terms of knowledge and teaching, education and guidance for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, keeping the ummah together, give that ilm the respect that it deserves and the people, the incentive for them to follow it. That's their amana. Now, if they fail to deliver that amana, what happens? People right now, when they lose trust in these ulama, what happens? Lead them astray. And again, the ulama in the past even had their mistakes, different mistakes. So some ulama from the history of the past, subhanAllah, we could look into books of history for many different reasons. Some for political positions, some for financial gain, some for fame, some for whatever. Many different reasons, some of these people attributed people to knowledge, they slipped and they failed. So they gave fatwas to these, tugha and these tyrants just to gain their pleasure. They hurt some Muslims, unfortunately, in courts of law, unfairly, in order to preserve themselves for certain, let's say, punishment. They did so many horrible things, unfortunately. And they were attributed or ascribed to ilm and knowledge and the scholarship, the field of scholarship. But alhamdulillah, if you look into our books of history, the number of ulama that we value in our life, that we look at them as being stars in the darkness of the night, they will completely outweigh all these, unfortunately, bad apples they have in the history of the ummah. And these people, their name is just disappeared. Our last, alhamdulillah, whom Allah subhanahu wa consider to be sincere and carry them along throughout the history of the ummah. So even in times of failure, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, there is always hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will produce for us those who will carry the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to the next level. Now, why would these things happen in the history of our ummah? Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. He promised that He will preserve His deen. True or not, Imam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised He will preserve His deen. Now, who carries that deen? People. People. Students of knowledge, ulama, and so on. One of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves this deen is what? Is filtering all these people. He filters them with tests and trials and many things. And He wants subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure that this deen is carried to the ummah by the most sincere. May Allah make us among them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every now and then, He will shake the ummah with tests. And these tests could happen in the most righteous circumstances, my dear brothers and sisters. Yani, even at the time of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, there were some tests that the ummah had to go through that have shaken the ummah severely, severely shaken the ummah. And I'm talking here about, yani, things related to morality. Not just a matter of, you know, ilm and fatwa. No, talking about morality. And the very famous incident of al-ifk, the big lie, the scandal, the scandalous accusation that they accused Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with. And the story is documented very well in Surah An-Nur, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nur in details how it happens there. So even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, these things were happening, and the people were shaken by these accusations. Even the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was distressed because of it. You know, for a long time, Aisha radiallahu anha, how innocent she was, subhanAllah, she had no clue. She had no clue that her reputation had been tarnished, her name being spreading around with rumors, astaghfirullah. She had no clue. She didn't even know. She was so innocent that she didn't know what's going on around her until she felt the Prophet ﷺ's demeanor was changing with her. Like, he wasn't acting with her like a lovey-dovey like he usually does that. And she kind of like, فَأَنْكَرَتْ خُلُقَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She kind of like felt something was going on. And then one day she was leaving somewhere with another of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, or actually one of the ladies with her. They were going actually to relieve themselves. Usually the bathrooms back then were outdoors. So as she was going, and then the lady with her, she kind of tripped and she cursed at a man by the name Mustah. So Aisha, she said, like, Mah, what's wrong with you? He's a good man. And she told her, like, what? Like, seriously? You don't even know what he was talking about? What he'd been saying? And Aisha said, what is he saying? So she told her, he's been accusing you with this and that. And Aisha, she just couldn't take it. She went back straight to the house. And she went to ask her mom, her father, and everybody knew about everything, and she was the last person to know. And she's like, no one is telling me, and you believe these things? And subhanAllah, it was such a very distressful situation for the ummah. Some good people like Mustah and others, they fell for it, unfortunately. Unfortunately, they fell for that fitna. And some, they wanted to protect the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ, he came on the minbar one day being distressed because of all the accusations that coming from everywhere. It almost divided the ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, who can protect me from the people who keep, you know, hurting me and hurting my family? And that's when the Ansar, one of them says, Ya Rasulullah, if it was from our brothers, from the Aus, we'll take care of them, from the Muhajir, from the Khazraj, we'll deal with them. And from the Muhajirin, from the Ansar, and they start arguing among themselves with the Prophet ﷺ present until he calmed them down. When they calmed down, the Prophet he left the masjid so distressed because of all of that. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the innocence of Umm Mu'min Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. The reason why I'm saying this, I'm not trying to compare what happened in our community with this, no. What I'm saying is that even the most righteous societies were shaken by accusations, rumors, and others, of course, that can be very dangerous. Our situation is not rumors. It's documented. So it's really a situation that's unfortunate. We're going to have to be know and understand how to navigate through a difficulty that this community will be going through. So that's for us, we have to be fair, be open about this matter, not covering it up or hiding it, you know, somewhere, but we need to understand that these things happen in the communities, and this is one of Allah's ways, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to filter the ummah and those who, you know, deserve to be protected otherwise. Now, we need to differentiate between two things. There's a big difference between someone committing a private sin and someone committing a crime. Different. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, a jama'ah. Our ulama, they tell us, لَوْ كَانَ لِلذِّنُوبِ رَائِحَةً مَا قَدِرَ أَنْ يُجَالِسَنَا أَحَدٍ. If sins leave or emit odor or smell, no one will dare to sit down with us. What does that mean, a jama'ah? We are full of sins. All of us. Who can dare and say he's pure or she's pure? I dare you to claim that. Because if you are, then you're an angel. We must take barakah from you. But we all have our own sins. Now, obviously, some of us, their wrongdoing is different than others. But we all have the tendency of making mistakes and err and commit things that we're not proud of. The Prophet ﷺ says, قَالْ كُلُّ ابْنُ آدَمَ خَطَّى. All the children of Adam are considered khatta, which means they commit sins. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. Though the best among those who make mistakes, who are they? Those who rush into repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not about if we commit a sin. No, if it's a matter of when we commit that sin, that we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, there's a difference between a private sin that somebody, for example, watching somebody not supposed to be watching, or taking something, you know, that is not supposed to be touched, for example, whatever that is. These are private sins between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should conceal these sins. We should protect people from being exposed because these are now personal matters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. We'll make dua for them and hope we'll help them with guidance, inshallah ta'ala. But when someone commits a crime, that's a different story. And the crime is violating the sanctity of other people's privacy or other people's lives or wealth and property. Now, that's not just a matter of sin anymore. You're committing a crime. And even these crimes, subhanAllah, these crimes, if it can be dealt with independently without being exposed, that's fine. But once it comes to the law, this is it. You can't hide it anymore. You can't. The time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man one time dragged another person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال يا رسول الله, this man stole from me. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he investigated the matter and realized, yeah, it's true, the man now deserved the punishment, the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, then go and execute the punishment. Now the accuser came into the Prophet again, he said, قال يا رسول الله, okay, now I forgive him. Now I forgive him. Please don't punish him. خلاص, I forgive him. I just want him to learn the lesson. That's what he said. And the Prophet ﷺ became so furious and angry with him. He says, now you want to forgive him? Shouldn't you have forgiven him before you brought him to me? فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ إِذَا بَلَغَ الْقَضَى وَقَعَ. If this matter comes to judgment, comes to the law, comes to the hakim, to the ruler or to the judge, this is it. There is no escape from it. You can't hide it anymore. Like, try to hide these things. Try to reconcile it. But if not, you're going to have to deal with it. So again, there's a big difference between a sin and a crime. So this man, when he committed that crime by stealing from this individual and he caught him, he could have reconciled with him how? By taking that property back and said, just don't do this again. Leave. And we're done. I don't want to punish this man. But when someone commits a crime that hurts somebody else, an innocent person, and they have no way to retaliate from them in one way or another, that's a different thing. That needs to be brought to the law. And that individual is now in the hand of the law enforcement. In matters of dunya, it's between them and the court to deal with these matters with all the evidence that they have against them. In matters of the akhirah, we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave it to Allah azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with them in that matter. For us, alhamdulillah, we need to understand that as a community, we will continue to move on. Because our deen is not tied to any personality or any individual, or any name. Not even the Prophet ﷺ, in that sense. How so? Yes, of course, our deen is based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt about it. Our example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the deen itself is not tied to the person of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came on the member and the people were crying and lost it because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, what did he say to them? Qala ayyuha an-nas, listen to me, O people. Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. So listen to me, people. If you worship Muhammad, know that he's dead. And if you worship the Lord of Muhammad, he never dies. So he's bringing the people where they need to go. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not tied to any personality. So I don't want anyone to come and start now labeling every single mu'min or salih or muttaqi or righteous person or alim or da'ya to brush them all with a brush of hypocrisy. That's not fair. And that's not right. Because Allah promised He will preserve this deen and He will produce for this deen people who are worthy of this title and they will carry it. Our duty, our job is to focus on what? On the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hopefully we'll find these righteous people who lay this through bi idhnillahi azza wa jal. Our ulama, they said, al-haqq la yu'rafu bil-rijal. I'rif al-haqq ta'rif ahla. Truth is not recognized by the people. The people should be recognized by the truth. What does that mean? I am not going to recognize the people, the truth by saying, oh, because it's Sheikh Fulan is saying it, so, oh, he has the haqq. What happens if he falls short in terms of his akhlaq and his manners? We're going to lose it? Because the haqq came with him or with her? No. But rather, we need to learn what the haqq is from the words of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Once you recognize that, inshallah ta'ala, you'll be able to know who's following the truth and who's not. That's a very important principle for us as mu'mins and Muslims in that sense. That we recognize the haqq first from the real sources, the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwa, is very strong. The deen of Allah is strong not because of the people. It's because of what? Its principles. Look at the example of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah make it easy for them, ya Rabbil Alameen. Who can imagine? People go what they go through, and they still hear from them what? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all belong to Allah, and we all shall return back to Him. And you hear from them, ya Rabbi, take from us until you're pleased. Ya Allah, take more until you're pleased. Who can handle this, jama'ah? Where this power is coming from? No ummah, no country, no nation, nobody is giving them any kind of support. They have all the right to disbelieve in this ummah. But they still believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of this ummah. And the same thing will be for us as well, bidnillahi azza wa jal. Let the whole ummah go, astaghfirullah, stray in one direction. If you have the truth, you stay on it. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala wa rda'a qal al-haqqu ma kan al-jama'atu ma kan al-haqqu in kunta wahdak. The true meaning of ummah and jama'ah is the one that holds the truth, even if you were by yourself. And if you're going to follow the people because everybody goes in one direction, we're going to get lost. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قال, وَإِن تَتَّبِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يَضُلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you follow the majority of the people, because it's trendy, as the culture today, because it's trendy, I'm going to follow everybody, they will lead you astray. So our deen is strong because of its principles, and we need to hold on to the principles, not to the people. So never ever tie your deen, your iman to anybody or any personality. And if you decide to quit because someone made a mistake, that's on you, not on the other person. So our deen will continue, inshallah, to be strong bi idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, one of the beautiful books of Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Tariq al-Hijratain, Muftah al-Sa'adatain. So Tariq al-Hijratain, the path to true migrations. Like as a believer, you're responsible to do two migrations. He means by that, one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these two paths of hijrah and migration will lead to the dua Dar al-Sa'ada. Dar al-Sa'ada is in the dunya and in the akhirah as well too. So our duty is to continue to stay on that journey, inshallah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Mas'ud, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu warda, he says, قال, من كان مستنا فليستنى بمن مات. فَإِنَّ الْحَيْءِ لَا تُمَنْ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. If you're going to be following somebody, then follow somebody who's already dead. Because the living is not safe from the fitna yet. It's not safe from going astray yet. And he means by that, look for somebody whose reputation has already been established. Someone who passed, and everybody knows that he is, mashallah, is righteous, alim, scholars, this, that, and so on and so. Those are the people that you hold on to them. Because the reputation is, mashallah, is protected throughout the history and already preserved in the books. But following Sheikh Fulan, and Brother Fulan, and Sister Fulan, and Sheikha Fulana, they are still alive amongst us. Don't put your deen and your iman on them. You only learn from them. And if they choose to fail and make mistake, if they chose, unfortunately, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to choose to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the way you deal with them. So for us, I just want to make sure that we understand that, inshallah ta'ala, which is why the North Texas Imam Council, which I'm here to represent, inshallah azza wa jal, issued that statement. Probably you saw it already online, circulating on social media as well too, asking the community to make sure to stay strong, and we will continue, inshallah ta'ala, to stay strong, binallahi azza wa jal. We need to make sure that we protect ourselves, our brothers and sisters, and if anyone that you know is going through some difficulty because of that, reach out to us, inshallah ta'ala. This is our opportunity to find, inshallah azza wa jal, guidance, support, healing, and we want to give, inshallah, space for people to have that, binallahi azza wa jal. We want to understand that we, as a community, we get angry when we hear these things, no doubt about it. Especially when, subhanAllah, it's been long for a long time and you realize, oh my God, yani, I thought we passed these things. And unfortunately, it's the reality of life. It's going to happen. So we know that people get angry, upset, and we understand, acknowledge all these mixed emotions that we go through because of these experiences. We need you just to protect yourself from misinformation. A lot of rumors go around, and unfortunately, I have to admit that, we, as a community, as an ummah, we love gossip. We just love that. Stop it, Jama. If someone sends you a link or information or half-truth or someone told me, just drop it. Don't get engaged in that stuff. You don't have to. Khalas, the case right now is with the law enforcement, they will be dealing with it. Let it be that way. And we're going to move on as a community, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So protect yourself from misinformation or excessive exposure to this matter that might hurt you and hurt others around you. I want you to make sure that you seek, inshallah ta'ala, the support from your local community. Sheikh Imam Kashif is not here yet. We are at Valley Ranch, your neighbors. We're more than happy to assist and help, inshallah ta'ala, which is why I'm here, honestly, because I would love for you to understand that we're here to support in any way we can, inshallah azza wa jal. And if needed, you could see professionals for that. Very important for us to do that, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from any fitna, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us grow as a community in the right direction, ya Allah. We ask Allah to protect our communities, our families, our children from any fitna, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our heart to that which is most pleasing to Him, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our heart to that which is most pleasing to Him, ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, show us that which is right and make it easy for us to follow it. And that which is wrong and stay away from it, ya Rabbil Alameen. And the way we gather in this place, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-salihin walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If there's any quick question that I can answer, inshallah, I'll be more than happy to assist with that. Yes, sir.